In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. This is the last Sunday before the Nativity. It's always the Sunday of the Holy Fathers, that is, the ones who are in the lineage of Christ, of the line of Judah. The genealogy is given today from Matthew. There's also one in Luke. This genealogy begins from Abraham, goes through David, and the rest until Joseph, to show that Mary was of the line of Judah, because it is not possible, it was illegal against the law, for a man to marry outside of his tribe. So since Joseph was of the tribe of Judah, Mary was too. This is proven in St. Luke's genealogy. St. Matthew's genealogy has a specific purpose. It wants to teach us something. It's actually very similar to the reading from the Hebrews, St. Paul's Hall of Faith. He didn't call it that, but it's sort of become that, called that, at least in Western, among Western people. It's called the Hall of Faith. In Hebrews, it talks about faith, and in Matthew, about a lot of peculiar characters in the genealogy of our Lord. And the two are very much related to one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I never think I'm going to win the lottery. I never buy a ticket. I never really think I'm going to win anything. It just doesn't occur to me that I would be the guy that would have that happen. Perhaps you feel lucky. Perhaps it's happened to you. But it's pretty rare for somebody to win some game of chance that has high odds, long odds. We feel like we're not that special. It's not going to happen to us. Well, there's a lot of things that happened in the genealogy of our Lord that weren't that special from a righteousness perspective. In fact, they were downright not righteous at all. And there was a lot of problems that the holy ones of the old endured that St. Paul goes through, and they didn't have any reward in their life. These things are related because the Lord is trying to show us, the church, the Holy Spirit has inspired these readings to be done before Nativity to teach us something. And that is that we must believe that the Lord is moving throughout our life. No matter how mundane your life seems to be, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much you think that you're not going to, quote-unquote, win the lottery, God is moving through your life. A Christian has to believe that, or else his life is really not worth anything. This is what the genealogy is telling us. Let me tell you a few things about the genealogy. A lot of people that didn't do praiseworthy things. And out of their seed came the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ. Abraham, he did righteous things, but he also pretended at one point that Sarah was his sister, putting her at great risk to assault because he was afraid. Isaac certainly had his difficulties and was tricked by Jacob, who was a trickster. Jacob was not very honest a lot of times. Jacob begat Judas of the line of Judah. Of the 12 tribes, Judah was the fifth son of Jacob. Judah had a son who was married to Tamar. And that son was very wicked, and he died. Tamar had no children. So he had another son, and he married this son off to Tamar, as was the custom. And he died because of his wickedness, leaving Tamar childless. There was a young boy, and Judah promised that he would marry this boy to Tamar when he became of age, because he hadn't even passed through puberty yet. But when he did, Judah recanted on his promise. He didn't want his other son to die. He didn't understand, really. It was because of the sin. It wasn't something magical. It was sin that was causing his sons to die. But he would not let this boy marry Tamar. So Tamar dressed up as a harlot and enticed Judah to utilize her services. So a forebearer of Christ went into a harlot and Tamar conceived. It's really kind of a funny story. When you read it, it's very clever how Tamar fools Judah and very clever how Tamar saves herself from any bad consequences by taking his ring and his staff sort of as payment. And when Judah is all angry that Tamar is pregnant and all about to punish her, Tamar says, just a minute here. I have a few things for you to see. So it's really a little kind of comical in a way, but it is about sin. And so there's others that have storied pasts, shall we say, interesting pasts. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab was a harlot, a pagan. She did a good turn to the Jews when she told them how to win the battle, but she was a harlot and a pagan. And then Ruth was a foreigner. And Boaz married Ruth, a foreigner. These are to show us that the Gentiles would come in because they were people that were outside of the household of faith and were brought into faith. And we get to Jesse and David. David, he had a sort of an up and down career, shall we say. Certainly a man after God's heart, but he also committed adultery, and because of that adultery, covered it up with murder. Certainly had his share of family problems. Very disobedient child. Tried to kill him. That is, a child tried to kill him. So lots of people with interesting lives. Not necessarily always righteous, but interesting. If you were to write a Hollywood movie about the Savior, not having this history in front of you, I'm sure that a person would generally write something where very illustrious. These wonderful people that bring forth more wonderful people, that bring forth more wonderful people until finally the Lord. That's not how it happened. A lot of not so wonderful people, they had their virtues, but they also had lots of vices. Lived their life, doing good, doing bad, getting by, sometimes doing quite righteous things, and other times doing things that were just really pretty hideous. And out of all that mess of humanity, that contradiction which we are, that good and bad that is in every man, that righteousness and unrighteousness that sometimes exists within us in the same moment, all throughout all of that comes the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a lesson to us. It's not so important that you know all the lives of these people. They're good to know. They should know them because you should be reading the scriptures and reading the Old Testament and the Gospels. And certainly you'll have more understanding if you know their lives. But the most important thing to glean from this, in my opinion, and it always comes to me every year, this most important thing, is that out of weakness, God makes us strong. You have no reason whatsoever to say to God, well, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm a terrible person, I'll never be good. That means I shouldn't really try so hard. Can't do that. Because everyone is made for perfection. All of us. And of course, that perfection is possible now because of Jesus Christ. But that perfection was prepared for with a lot of imperfect people. That gives me a lot of comfort, because I'm pretty imperfect. But I want to be perfect. I hope you want to be perfect. It's the major message that I try to give to you almost every time, is what your purpose is, and that you would have desire in your heart to become perfected, to know God. How good you are at it, that's not so important. What's important is that you want it. And if you want it, the genealogy shows us that good comes out of bad. If you want it. Now, God certainly wanted to have his son be born and be a perfect man, as well as, of course, remain perfect God. And so his will was that it would happen through the people who were prostitutes and clients of prostitutes and murderers and adulterers and pagans and idol worshipers. We didn't even talk about Solomon. Throughout all of that, the Lord's will was that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born of the line of Judah and would save his people from his sins. And as the gospel says, would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The uncreated, unknowable God of the universe became created and knowable by becoming man while remaining God. That's a good thing to remember. So if you feel pretty inadequate, you don't need to worry. Actually, if you don't feel inadequate, you should worry. Because we're all inadequate. But if you feel small, then the Lord will make you large. If you feel unrighteous, the Lord will make you righteous. If you feel that you have no strength, the Lord will make you strong. That's what the genealogy tells us. And that's also what this Hall of Faith tells us, which I haven't really talked about as much, but it's the same sort of story. The Lord has a plan for each one of us. In its details, it's different, but in general, it's all the same. He wants you to know him intimately, personally. He wants you to be perfect. He wants you to not have anything in you that's ugly or dark or cold or confused. He wants you to be at peace and in his presence. And it's all possible because our Lord Jesus Christ became man and showed us the way and made us capable of living according to that way. And it all happens in the midst of the mess of humanity, in the midst of all of our imperfections. It's really a pretty marvelous thing. So remember that. You got no excuses. Just because you're a mess, like all the rest of us, doesn't give you an excuse not to say your prayers or not to struggle for salvation. Keep struggling. When you fall down, get up. Absolutely, positively, the Lord will always help you up. He will never abandon you, and you will grow to perfection. That's what this genealogy is teaching us. It's really a marvelous lesson. May God help us to grow to perfection. Amen.